Well, that executive action blocking refugees, as we said, has sparked outrage and protests. People who feel it's the opposite of what America stands for. People like Adham Sahlul, a Syrian-American from Chicago, who's working now for a humanitarian organization in Turkey, and he joins us via Skype. Adham, do you think that you, as a Syrian-American, will not be able to come back into the country because of this order?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's worth pointing out, and always in these conversations, it's worth pointing out the relative privilege. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. My father's a physician. I have green eyes and blonde hair. I don't really get, I don't have a beard. I don't wear the headscarf. People generally don't give me problems until they see my name on my passport. So I've never really encountered, real discrimination at airports or at customs. But, I worry as to whether I'll be able to, visit, see my family anytime soon, or at least in the short term as the first 120 days or first 90 days or so of the implementation of the executive order plays through.
Well, and when Reince Priebus, the president's chief of staff, comes out and says, well, anybody that's traveling to one of these countries should expect to have hours of interrogation when they try to come back into the U.S., what do you say to that? Because that's the argument that a number of people are making, that, if you're going to go to Yemen or you're going to go to Syria, why shouldn't you be questioned significantly when you return to the United States?
Right. I'm all for people doing their jobs. My cousin's a police officer. I have great respect for, people at the front lines, our TSA officers, if it's making us safer. But there is nothing in this executive order that's making us safer. In fact, this could make us less safe.
Why do you say that? What do you mean? What would make us less safe from this?
Well, this is building animosity, or even more animosity, within the Muslim world. It reinforces the us and them narrative that the extremists on both sides that they are peddling. I think just yesterday there were jihadist groups, Islamic State on Islamic State social media. They were praising the Muslim ban, that this is exactly what they wanted to prove, that the West is against Muslims. And this is the kind of thing that is that drives radicalization. So nothing in the form of a pragmatic analysis of where are the security gaps in the visa programs? Which are the countries where any of the terrorist attacks in the past 10 to 20 years have occurred? Which country should we be singling out? Those are the kind of questions we should be asking. But as just today, Lawfare broke that hundreds of Foreign Service officers are reportedly penning a letter to the State Department's dissent channel saying that, we're the ones who are working in the consulates. We're the ones that are issuing passports and visas and so on. We're the ones who understand the political dynamics around the world. And we're saying that this is going to sour relations, that this is going to have an economic impact on the U.S. There's over $250 billion from travelers that came to the U.S. Just in 2015. There's a humanitarian impact. People who are visiting the U.S. for medical treatment, people like me or others who work for NGOs that need to travel to these areas, these conflict zones. And then this will actually create a burden. We need to just talk about the not just from us here in the States and how this will impact the States and our security, but this is a real burden on refugees, people who are fleeing bombardment, people who are fleeing persecution. And the U.S. has taken, relative to its GDP and its size, has taken an embarrassingly low amount of refugees, particularly from Syria in the past 5 years since the conflict has been raging, compared to, Canada and Germany and Sweden, not to mention the countries bordering, the first asylum countries bordering Syria, like Turkey, where I am, or Lebanon, or Jordan. We hear about stories in our history classes since elementary school in the U.S., about Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty and how this is a country that was built by immigrants and refugees from fleeing religious persecution in Great Britain and Europe and otherwise. And, it's sad that we're going against everything that, America was built on.
Well, one of the things that President Trump has talked about is establishing safe zones in Syria, basically with the idea that rather than having refugees flee the area and go into Europe or come to the United States or go to Jordan or other countries in the region, that if there were safe zones in Syria, that they could just stay there. As somebody who is on the ground in the region, is that a realistic thing?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to, I can't look into people's hearts, but I doubt that President Trump is doing anything really with care for what the Syrian, you know, what Syrians are actually feeling and what they actually want. But according to a survey in 2015, which surveyed close to 900 Syrian refugees living in Germany, 92% of them wanted to go back to Syria. They didn't want to stay in Europe. But to create a safe zone, you would need leverage on the ground. And President Obama has lost, you know, almost all leverage the United States has on the ground in Syria, aside from the coalition forces bombing ISIS. You know, where you would create a safe zone, who would enforce it. These are all intricate policy issues that President Trump has not answered yet.
That's Adham Sahloul, who is a Syrian-American from the United States, but working right now for a humanitarian organization in Turkey. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.